I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is the Director of Community Engagement for the Grand in Wilmington, Pam Minocchio. Welcome, Pam.
Hello. Thank you, Paul.
And an upcoming performer in the Stages of Discovery series at the Baby Grand, Tahira. Welcome, Tahira.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm really glad to have you both back. I love it when you're on the show because you just have so many exciting things to share about the work that you do. Pam, I thought we'd get started today with the Stages of Discovery series, which has quite a rich history at the Grand, and to hear a little bit about that for our listeners who aren't familiar with it.
It does. Stages of Discovery is our school matinee program. We are now in the 11th season. We started back in 2007, and we are actually now presenting educational performances in all three venues. We have Copeland Hall at the Grand, the Playhouse on Rodney Square, and the Baby Grand series. So what we do is we're providing educational opportunities for students to experience the arts and for teachers to utilize the arts to help teach various subjects. So all of our shows have some kind of curriculum ties, whether they're teaching literature or history or science. And so many of our shows also have character building lessons. So it's a really valuable experience for the students who are coming to see these performances.
Now, what age range of students are targeted for these programs?
Most of our performances are appropriate, they range from preschool through middle school. And sometimes we have some shows that also serve the high school students, but our focus is on pre-K through grade 8.
Now, the schools, so if it's preschool, do you have preschool centers coming in as well as school?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of private centers and families are coming in as well. Moms and dads who are home with their kids are welcome to buy tickets and come enjoy a show as well.
Now, how do you reach out to these potential audiences?
Well, all of the information is up on our website. So that is thegrandwilmington.org/discovery. So we're inviting anybody who comes to the Grand to come discover the stages, the stages shows and help their children discover the arts this way.
Now, I understand you provide some opportunities to help assist schools in bringing their student populations to the Grand.
Absolutely. We understand that it can be difficult either financially or logistically for the schools and teachers to arrange these field trips. So we try to take away as many of those obstacles as we can. Our tickets are relatively inexpensive. It's $7 per person, and we have a discount program that helps Title I schools, which gives them even lower price tickets. We have a transportation scholarship, so we can assist schools with busing costs and give them grants of up to $500 per school. That helps them get there as well. And then we offer some other services. We have study guides for almost all of the shows have a study guide that is up on the website that teachers can download and find resources to help them with what they're preparing in the classroom. And we also have education staff that can do classroom visits. So what they would do is talk to a teacher ahead of time and plan their visit. And then our staff will go in and teach theater etiquette, theater history, because there's such a rich history of both the venues, the Grand Opera House and the Playhouse on Rodney Square. And they'll also create a customized lesson plan so that they can help the teacher tie in what they're going to see in the show in with what they're teaching in the classroom curriculum-wise.
How about if we give a little shout-out to your corporate sponsorship for the transportation subsidies?
Oh, absolutely. Capital One is our funder for transportation scholarships. Series sponsors are also DuPont Company and Delaware Division on the Arts. And then our Title I discounts are supported by the Laffey McHugh Foundation. So there's a lot of support for this program, making this possible.
Which I think really speaks well to the Grand and the quality of this program to be able to attract that kind of broad-based support for this programming. Now, the curriculum that you provide, who develops that and how does that work with the teachers?
When we go into the classrooms?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of our education consultants. Typically, Brianna Feinberg, who used to work in this role as education manager, but we have some other arts consultants and teaching artists that we can go to. And she, like I said, she'll talk with the teachers to find out what their goals are. So if it's a literature based production like Henry and Mudge. She will read the story to the kids in the classroom and then tie it in with, you know, with what they're, what the teacher wants to learn, wants
the students. Arts integration at its finest, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
perfect.
Yeah. Now, I noticed on your website, you describe the stages of discovery program by stating that different students respond to different ways of learning. What do you hear from the teachers who participate in this program about the value of this kind of experience for their students?
We do a teacher survey following every performance. So when we get those responses back and read, it's really touching and moving to hear some stories about students that were never interested in this in the classroom, but once they saw a performance on stage, they're like, wow, you know, I'm starting to get excited about this now, and they'll go back to the classroom and ask more questions. In the spring, we have a music program that's called the Science of Sound. We'll have an electric violinist come in, and she will talk about music and everything from Bach to rock is part of her title, but she'll also help to explain the science of sound waves and use some visual cues up on a screen. And you know, so it kind of helps students not just hearing an explanation in a classroom, but seeing it and hearing it firsthand. So it's true. Students respond to so many different ways and so many different cues that this really opens up the possibilities for all of those little minds.
And one of those, so it's a wide range of programming, all arts-based, but connected to so many different areas of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, Tahira, that arts integration.
Yeah.
Let's turn to you, Tahira, and right. Specifically, you're going to be appearing at the Baby Grand in January.
Yes.
With a Songs of the Civil Rights program.
Yes.
And this, it's interesting that 2018 marks the 50th anniversary of some really cataclysmic events in American history, the
Absolutely.
Assassination of Bobby Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King
Yes.
Jr., the occupation of federal troops in downtown Wilmington. So just
Yes.
Really the 50th anniversary
Pivotal, yeah.
of a milestone,
mm-hmm.
A pivotal period mm-hmm. in American history. You're going to be at the Baby Grand, mm-hmm. Songs of the Civil Rights. Let's hear a little bit about your work. You've been a
okay.
storyteller, musician, and vocalist in the area for a number of years, which I think also speaks to the variety of programming and stages of discovery.
Yeah.
It's regional and national programs, but also local artists as well. Let's hear a little bit about your work and then where this Songs of the Civil Rights fits into your scope of work.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I've been doing storytelling full-time storyteller and vocalist, musician, as you mentioned, full-time for about 20-plus years. This is the part when you tell me I look young.
Mm-hmm. You started when you were seven.
Right, I started when I was seven. Absolutely. Yes, and when we talk about art integration, one of my missions is always to use my art form to teach, we mentioned character building things, but also about make history come alive, mm-hmm. you know, make math come alive, mm-hmm. make language arts, allow them to demonstrate language arts skills in the moment live, like call and response and making predictions and being part of the story. I think that's very important. And whether that is on the stage, which I love to perform, I also am a teaching artist and go into schools and I do things from pre-K to high school. I even do a program that is called Reimagining Math, teaching Algebra 1 to 9th graders through storytelling. Because arts can teach absolutely everything. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but absolutely everything. And as a teaching artist and performer, you know, my mission is to use my art form to also encourage and empower young people to think critically about things, about history, about their environment, about the choices, and choose wisely and, of course, believe fervently in their ability to succeed. And I think all the arts do that, but that's my focus in all the work that I do.
And so let's turn to the Songs of the Civil uh-huh. Rights Program itself. And for our listeners, that's going to be, and Pam, correct me if I'm wrong, at the Baby Grand, January 18th,
mm-hmm.
With performances at 9:30 and 12 noon.
That's correct.
Correct.
Perfect.
So, Tahira, let's hear about this, what you have in store for this program.
So this is really special because it's primarily songs. Usually I do stories primarily and sort of spice it with a little songs. This is the reverse. We're doing mostly songs and sort of weaving them together with some narration. And the focus is on the understanding, the students understanding that during this pivotal time, often a 30-minute, 60-minute, 90-minute speech may not change someone's mind, or policy, discussion about policy may not change anyone's mind or heart, but that a song could. It often fortified folks who were up against monumental odds. It was everyday people that change the laws in this country and that fought for justice and continues to fight for justice and equality. I mean, I often heard it say that, I mean, Dr. King was a great man, but that day when he was on doing the speech, I Heard Dreams speech, he'd just been a regular Baptist preacher, whether not for the tens of thousands of everyday folk that showed up. And those who followed him and were in the street and protesting and taking those risks, it was everyday folks. And so the songs of the Civil Rights Movement teaches that to pre-K to eighth grade through song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, in your programming, do you engage the audience at all?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is interactive. You know, black folks can't watch TV without talking back. So everything is interactive. And so there are parts where they will sing the chorus. And when I tie it together with the narration, I may ask questions. And Pam will tell you, it's nothing for me to grab some folks and have them come mm-hmm. up on stage. And they feel free to just interject, you know, and just become a part of the experience, because, you know, unlike theater, there's not that other wall that separates you, the performer, from the audience. It is a experience that happens in the moment, and everybody's a part of it. Everybody.
Great. Well, I want to pursue this more, but first remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are Pam Minocchio, the Director of Community Engagement at The Grand, and local storyteller, musician, and vocalist Tahira. We're talking about the upcoming production performance, Songs of the Civil Rights, at the Baby Grand on January 18th. Tahira, you have a quite a wide repertoire of songs and mm-hmm. stories. You work with a wide range of ages.
Absolutely.
Who is this program targeting?
You know, I think I actually can create the program based on who shows up, because I've been doing it in a mm-hmm. while. And because this particular show is geared toward pre-K to grade 8 at the Grand, whoever comes, that's kind of how I...
We have mostly upper elementary coming to this particular performance.
Okay. Yeah.
So you have that kind of dialogue.
Yeah,
who's my audience and how do I tailor this program to them?
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, given that, what are some of the considerations you have given the age range of children you're working with?
Wow, that's a great question. One of it is that we're talking about some very difficult things when we talk about history, right? We don't want to sanitize it. We don't want to romanticize it. So one of the things that's a little difficult is when they're really young and you're talking about people who were hurt, even killed, right, simply because they had a different idea. That's a really heavy subject for really little people, mm-hmm. but you want them to know the history, right? That's the sort of thing I kind of dance, and it's a delicate dance, because you don't want to sanitize it. You don't want to romanticize it. You want to tell the truth, and then you don't want it to be too heavy for the little people. So that's a difficult dance.
So do you kind of curate on the spot?
Yep. Absolutely.
So you
right
so,
there
okay,
on site.
I have this in my bag of songs.
Yep.
I'm going to pull this song out because this seems to be right for the moment.
Right. And one of the things I say often, a refrain I say to young people is, this is a difficult story to tell, but it must be told.
Mm-hmm.
This is a difficult story to tell. It makes us sad, even in this moment, and it happened a long, long time ago, because it must be told. Because every day we have choices, and we have to make decisions about how we treat one another. And this history shows us what happens when we make the wrong choices. So this is a difficult story to tell. And so just saying mm-hmm. that, and to be honest, sometimes it's the adults in the room that have more of a problem with it than the young people. Like, they're taking it. Like, I believe I make them feel safe. because it, I'm engaging, you know, I make them feel safe and they're with me. It's sort of the adults thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about here? You know, wouldn't you agree,
Pam? They get scared. The adults get scared, but the kids are not scared.
Right.
The kids love it. They engage and they receive it.
Yeah.
And they really start to understand.
And they know that you're being honest with them, you know? They know you're being honest and authentic.
And that's the beauty of being able to work with solo artists like this. And this season, I do have three shows within the Baby Grand with solo artists, and each one of them have the same approach. Mm-hmm. And they're each able to kind of customize the program based on what age groups are attending. Mm-hmm. And for another example is David Gonzalez, who's another storyteller and musician who will be giving a program that's a bully prevention program, and he has one group coming in of middle schoolers and another group coming in of second and third graders. Same program, but he will be able to kind of carve it out and adjust his language and adjust the performance based on who's in the audience.
That's
and get them all involved and engaged.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
The other one I mentioned earlier with the science of sound, she's another solo artist who can adjust. You know, most of the touring children's theater companies don't have that flexibility, but but again, we try to pick something for all different age groups so they all get to respond to theater in different ways.
Right. And I may have a surprise. I may not be solo. I may be bringing, a little surprise. I might be bringing Lawrence Wheatley, who plays saxophone and flute. What the children love about that. So he'll play soprano sax or alto sax or baritone sax. And it has we're doing a story in there. Each instrument is connected to a character. Mm-hmm. And so they also make some predictions about what he's going to play. And if we have some time at the end, we always like to introduce the instruments to the students as well.
Tahir, I'm kind of curious, and Pam, you sort of triggered this thought in my head about the solo artist or, you know, you with a single person. Storytelling is kind of a unique art form. It is, in a way, performance art, but it's also a connecting with the individual.
Absolutely.
So how do you as a storyteller not only present to the audience, but also try to make that connection one-on-one so that each child feels like she's talking to me?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's one of the things. It's so such a simple thing, but the lighting. You know, sometimes in theater, and I go in, and they got the house like completely dark, like at 10%. I'm like, oh no! I need to see the faces, because the only way to make that connection, Paul, is to see their faces. And I do. I scan the room while I'm performing. So if I do get those concerns and that eyebrows coming together with the adults, and I can see they're like, oh, where's she going with this? You know, that I can be adjusting that. Or with a child, if you see, and on the other end of the spectrum, you see a lot of squirming. You see a lot of, and you're like, uh-oh, it's about to be a bathroom moment with the pre-Ks. You know, you have to adjust for that and redirect their attention. But seeing the faces helps me make that connection. And to use things like call and response and to add sing along with this chorus helps me know whether I got them or not.
Now, in addition to this fellow musician you may be bringing with you, do you bring any other accoutrements or paraphernalia or with you?
Well, I do play guitar, and sometimes a student of the drum, and I'll play the drum, but I don't bring any props too much, maybe some percussion instruments, because with storytelling, unlike with theater, storytelling, you want everything to be in their imagination. Let them create it, you know. And what's fun about that is sometimes I'll do a story, have a story called The Strange Animal, and I really only give about 3 or 4 adjectives of what he looks like, and at the end I ask them, so what did he look like? And they'll say those 3 or 4 things that I mentioned, and then they'll add other things, and then all right then, you know, they'll add it, because to them it comes alive in their imagination. But if I was to have a prop that said, this is what the strange animal looks like, that sort of shuts down imagination in a way.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I'm curious, your repertoire of stories, are they original stories, or are some of them stories you've heard and adapted?
Well, for this particular show, they're all stories from history, songs attached to history. But some of my performances that I do are original stories. Some are things I've heard as a child is passed on. Some are from other storytellers. I mean, my favorite place, and one of the reasons I am a storyteller, this is my shout out, is to the library. I love the library as a child. Mm-hmm. I still love the library. I actually go and read books, physical books, not Nooks or Kindles and all that. And that's where I find a lot of resources. Sometimes it's primary source history, and I'll listen to recordings of the past, or with songs or things, or read folk, a collection of folk tales and adapt it myself, or something in history, and I decide, okay, how can I reshape this, you know, person's whole legacy into a 6-minute story?
Okay. We've got about a minute left. Pam, how about reminding our listeners again where they can find information about Tahira's upcoming performance, as well as some of the other performance programs you have coming up?
Of course. I'd be happy to. All of the information for Stages of Discovery can be found on our website, thegrandwilmington.org/discovery. Like we said earlier, Tahira is performing on January 18th. And I'm really happy to say that a lot of our shows are near being sold out. So if any schools or parents are interested in attending, please call or look it up real soon. We've got the phone number is 302-658-7897, extension 3201. And yeah, we've got some great shows that are remaining. We've got The Science of Sound on March 22nd. For the younger kids, the popular storybook, How I Became a Pirate, in April, The Ugly Duckling, a classic tale, in May. And for some older children, we have Treasure Island on March 6th. So just a few things to think about.
Really a great range of programming. And you say Stages of Discovery now in its 11th season?
11 years, yes.
And just quickly, what's the geographic range of schools and centers that come?
My goodness. We get students all across the state of Delaware, as well as Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
And New Jersey. They're crossing bridges. They are coming from up to 2 hours away just
really?
To see the arts.
Wow,
yep.
I didn't know that.
That's great. Amazing outreach, community outreach, and educational opportunities for our students. Pam and Tahira, thank you so much for joining us
today. Thank you, Paul.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Paul.